Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And there are people dying because of hip fractures and the risks between delaying surgery. And that caught my attention when I saw this. And I wanted to bring the people on the show who have been doing the study on this. I think it's very important for us as Canadians to understand our healthcare system, more importantly, the risks of our healthcare system. And so we have Dr. Boris Sobolev. He's one of the co-lead investigators on a recent hip fracture study. He's also a professor of population and public health at the University of British Columbia. Dr. Boris, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
So tell us about your study about this risks of delaying surgery for hip fractures.
So this study is a pan-Canadian collaborative research funded by Canadian Institute for Health Research. And essentially what we've been looking for is understanding the changes in the policy in access to hip fracture surgery.
And so what are some of the risks or some of the outcomes that came out in your research so far?
Well, to put this into the perspective that hip fracture is common in frail older adult patients, and usually frailty means that there is a diminished capacity to withstand the joint impact of the injury and surgery itself. So, and it's well known that, and my clinical colleagues would attest to that, that broken hip usually provokes some inflammation, some kind of changes in organism in the body, which is not, which is quite risky in terms of the complications, particularly in this elderly population. So, but from our perspective, breaking a hip will also immobilize a patient. So patient is in the bed. And that's not good for many reasons, because at the very least, it actually can lead to formation of clot in the blood vessels, and that will create some major problem in a patient body. So hip fracture surgery is a major operation. So it itself can actually result in postoperative complications. So therefore, our idea was to see whether implementing a policy of early surgery will make any difference in this vulnerable population. And we found that, yes, indeed, that if everyone would undergo surgery within 2 days, so we say that before second sunset, that will actually prevent about 17% of deaths that currently occur among those who've been delayed.
Are Canadians dying because they don't get access to this surgery right away?
Well, there are multiple reasons why patients could be delayed. So there is a legitimate medical reason, so patients simply not ready for surgery. They have to, stabilize. Some of their conditions should be addressed. But there is so-called the non-medical reasons for delays, and that is kind of part of the process, because patients could wait or may have to wait for a consultation, after admission, for test results. But very often they just simply wait for available operating room time. And that's something which should be addressed, because in our view, and this is pan-Canadian study, so almost 140 hospitals in the entire country, except from Quebec, we found that evening surgery is not available in many hospitals, and therefore anyone who been admitted after hours may wait until the next morning just to go through the process of booking operations. And that's something that should be addressed.
Is there a, I'll use the word benchmark, or is there a standard that we have to have in Canada when something like this happens?
So in 2005, Canadian provincial, territorial, and federal governments adopted 48 hours benchmark, and that is 48 hours from admission. In reality, it's 48 hours from decision to make to have a patient for surgery. So our finding actually allows actually to go with a much more stricter recommendation. So the surgery should actually be done within 2 days. So in other words, no later than day after their injury.
So the benchmark should be changed from the current benchmark that's been placed by the provinces, territories, and the federal government. Are there many provinces who are still offside on that one? Are they not reaching those benchmarks?
Well, that's true because the benchmark was 90% of hip fracture surgeries within 48 hours, and a recent publication from CAIHI shows that there are some territories and there are some provinces which still not meeting this benchmark. But what we're saying, this is not enough. 48 hours of admission is probably not enough. We should go with much more stricter benchmark.
Okay, and so I got two questions. Do you know which provinces are offside on this one? And in your benchmark, if you were to change that, what would be the outcome?
So the first question, the most recent data are available from CAIHI, because our study ends with 2012, so probably it's not very up-to-date findings. So, but your second question, can you remind me?
Yeah, so what if you were to change the benchmark to your recommendation, what would be the outcome from that?
Well, we found that for every 1,000 surgeries, about 11 deaths could be prevented.
So about a 1.1% differential.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and so from your 2012 study that you had, or the data that you have, was any of the provinces that showed an alarming rate, or was there one that stood in your mind that says this province has some problems?
Well, let me put it this way, that there is only probably one or two provinces which at some point met the benchmark, so uniformly that it's not the case.
And so what has been the comments from the government, preferably from the health side, coming out saying what they need to do? Has there been any communication? Have they been looking at this research? Are they on it by saying we need to make some changes right away, or not?
Well, I mean, the good news is that many provincial governments are very, very responsive to the recommendations to change, and say Alberta is doing very well recently, for example, in meeting the even 48 hours benchmark. In British Columbia, where I work, there is a very, very close communication with provincial government, and we have currently the project, it's called the hip fracture redesign, where the majority of the clinical and the procedural changes to improve care are being either implemented or considered. There is a lot of effort in Ontario, of course. It's one of the leading provinces in terms of care delivery. So, yeah, that's true. The challenge here is that a hip fracture is not the only urgent surgery.
Yeah.
And when there is a competing demand, you really have to decide when you're a hospital manager who should go first. And that's a challenge, because we don't want to expedite some people at the expense of delaying others. So therefore, our next step, and we have a support from British Columbia government, Minister of Health, to understand how to triage who would benefit most from expedited surgery.
And is this purely a government policy thing, or is this the hospitals could run more efficiently to make this happen? Like, is it purely, we always blame the government for this stuff, but is there some things that the individual hospitals can do to triage better, to be more efficient, to be expeditious in this manner?
Well, you know what, it's all of us. Healthcare, it's not just the government, it's not just hospitals, it's all of us. And we're doing our job as the researchers, kind of pointing to best practice. Our colleagues in hospitals who are doing a fabulous job trying to accommodate the increasing needs from the population. So the government, which is trying actually to accommodate. It's just such a complex situation where the competing demand and the resource availability put some kind of pressure. So if you ask me who should lead that, so I would say hospital champions or the clinical champions, the most important people here, and we certainly see that leadership happening.
And we got about 20 seconds left. Is there a private option out there for Canadians if the lineup is too long or they can't get in within that 48-hour suggestion, or the two sunset suggestion that you have? Or do they have options outside of the public system?
So in British Columbia, if you may know, that there is a challenge now in the Supreme Court to consider that option. So what would be the decision? We have to see.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dr. Bors.
Thank you.
So we've been with Dr. Boris Sobolev. He is one of the co-lead investigators on a recent hip fracture study and professor of population and public health at the University of British Columbia. We're going to have to go to break, but before we do, I want to talk about these are the issues. If privatization comes into play and you need to pay for it, how is your retirement savings going to help afford that? How are you going to be able to have your income and these healthcare costs covered? We're going to discuss that on Tuesday, August 21st, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com. After the break, we'll be talking about some new income splitting rules and how they can impact on your taxes. You're listening to More Than Money on 770 CHQR.